Well, hello there, Hope Church. So glad to be with you today and to be sharing from God's Word. I believe that God has a great word for us today. But before we get started, I just wanted to make sure that everyone is getting the information that we at Hope Church are sharing with people. And we're doing that in a number of ways. We're trying to keep updates going on our Facebook page. So if you want to visit our Facebook page, there's some information there, Hope Church Lowell. Also, we're sending out some email blasts. So if you're getting those, great. If you're not and you want to, please make sure that we have your correct email address. And to do that, you can go to our website, hopechurchlowell.com, and click on the Contact Us button. And that way you can make sure that we have all your information. And then we can communicate with you. We don't really have much in the way of updates right now. Things are kind of stable, if you will. But as time progresses, we'll have more and more information. And that's how we're going to push that out. So if you want to stay in touch with us, that's the way to do it. We're happy to do that. Before we get into God's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and praise you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you so much for the way that you choose to reveal yourself to us, Lord, and that is through your word. And Lord, as we seek you in your word right now, we pray that you would pour your spirit out and guide us and teach us. And Lord, it is our prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Father, hear our prayer, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the past couple of weeks have been interesting, to say the least. With this shelter-in-place directive, I've learned of a number of people that are looking for new and different ways to stay busy. Now, as a result, there are a number of projects that are getting done at people's homes. I've heard of people cleaning closets, cleaning out basements. Maybe when the weather gets nicer, attack the garage. Maybe you're doing your spring cleaning and you find yourself in the middle of one of these projects like that right now. Now, my wife has decided that it's a good time to go through some of the stuff that's down in our basement. And the other day, she came up with a stack of old photos. And these old photos were really kind of fun to look through. You could see when the kids were young, when we were young, and I look at those photos and I think, where is this guy that I see here? Because when I look in the mirror, I don't see that anymore. Now, I get it. As we get older, we look older. I understand that. That's just how it is. But do I need to be reminded of it? Probably not. But here's something interesting, and I'm really not sure how this became a thing, but there are apps out there that you can download to your phone or your iPad that take a picture of you or whoever, right? It's a face picture, and then it ages it. And it shows you basically what you might look like in 5, 10, 20 years. Now, personally, I think this is crazy. I mean, is this something I want to see? Me, 20 years from now? I don't think so. And I wonder how many of you actually have an app like that downloaded on your phone. Now, maybe you downloaded it just to kind of goof around with it and have some fun. But are you really excited about what you might look like 20 years from now? I wonder. Well, today, we are going to see what we will look like in the future. And this age progression picture that we're going to look at today from Scripture should really get us excited. Stay with me. Now, this week, we continue to celebrate this 40-day season of Lent that takes us up to Holy Week, to Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. And during this time of Lent, we've made a point of looking very closely at the life of Jesus. And we've been following him from the very beginning of his ministry. And we've looked at a few of the significant events in his life as he gets closer and closer to his suffering and crucifixion. And we've spent some important time really digging deep to see what we can learn from the life of Jesus. Now this week, we are going to look at one of the most important events in the life of Christ, and that is the Transfiguration. Now this is a pivotal point in Jesus' ministry and in the life of the disciples as well. Now this story, like the one we looked at last week, is found in three of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke each tell their version of the story. And like last week, we're going to kind of refer back to each one of them because they all have certain details that add to the story and are really important. But we're going to focus on Luke's account found in chapter 9 of his gospel. So if you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, we're going to focus on verses 28 to 36. So Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. However, there is some really good stuff in the preceding verses that give us a lot of context into this passage. And it's always important to understand the context, really, of any passage that you're looking at in Scripture. And we're going to be using that context to really set the scene for our story today. Now, if you remember, last week, we made mention of the fact that the disciples have been following Jesus for some time when he calmed the storm. We looked at the story of when he calmed the storm the second time last week. And we saw last week that from time to time, the disciples, they just didn't seem to get it, right? They didn't seem to understand or completely grasp what Jesus was trying to teach them or to tell them who he was, even though they had seen miracle after miracle. They just didn't seem to get it. Now, when we get to our story for today, the disciples have been with Jesus for almost 3 years. And Jesus challenges them in verses 18 to 21 of Luke chapter 9. And he asks them, he says, "Who do the crowds say I am?" Now, Jesus didn't really need to ask this question. He pretty much knew what the crowds were saying about him. He asked because he was setting up a very important follow-up question. Because then he asks them, "Who do you say I am?" It was fine for the disciples to know what the crowds were saying about Jesus, but Jesus had to ask them as individuals what they believed about him. "Who do you say I am?" And of course, Peter speaks up first. Impetuous Peter. And he answers really for all of them. And he says, "You are God's Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the long-awaited one, the one prophesied about in the Old Testament." And you think for a minute, Hey, they're getting it. They're catching on. They're understanding what Jesus is teaching them. And then Jesus goes into this little diatribe, if you will, and he starts talking about how he must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. And then Matthew shares in his account that Peter took him aside and he rebuked Jesus. He had just said, "Yes, you are the Christ," and now Peter takes him aside and he rebukes him. He says, "No, this can't happen." But Jesus replies with a scathing rebuke of his own. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the concerns of God." the disciples were getting close, but they weren't there yet. So I have to imagine that this was a tense time between Jesus and the disciples. I mean, think about it. You have an argument at home, or an argument at work, or an argument with a friend, and the tension that's there, it doesn't just go away immediately, right? No, that tension tends to linger. Well, that's how it was with Jesus and the disciples. See, really, the next thing that Luke records after this little incident is found in verse 28, where it basically says, 8 days later. 8 days later. So it seems that this tension between Jesus and the disciples could have been going on for almost a week. And during this time, the disciples, they had to be wondering about what Jesus had been telling them, wondering about the suffering and dying stuff that Jesus was talking about. It had to be a time of uncertainty and a time of fear. Sound anything like our world today? And this is where we pick the story up now. Verse 28, it says, about 8 days, as we said, after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. So Jesus, as he very often does, decides he needs to get away and he needs to spend some time in prayer. And he doesn't take all the disciples with him. Interestingly, he only took three. He only took Peter, James, and John. Now, some commentators have suggested that he did this because these three tended to need more supervision than the others. And I think we know that about Peter, right? Peter was very impetuous. And I can sort of imagine Jesus saying, okay, I need to go away to pray. Oh, wait a minute. You better come with me. I got to keep an eye on you guys. Possibly, more accurately, Jesus was thinking, okay, this has gone on long enough. This tension between us has gone on long enough. I need to show you guys something. Come with me. You need to see this. And then verse 29 says, they're up on the mountain, it says, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. In the text of Matthew and Mark, they use a Greek verb there, metamorpho, and it's translated in both instances, transfigured. But it's where we get our English word metamorphosis, which basically means transformed, and transformed completely, inside and out. And Jesus' appearance was changed to what he would look like in the future. It was changed to what he would look like after his death, after his resurrection and his ascension. It's the glory that we will behold when he comes again. And that glory is spectacular. Now, was this important for the disciples to understand? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because remember, they were only weeks away from seeing Jesus beaten and tortured to the point where he would be almost unrecognizable. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, look. Look, look beyond the cross. Look beyond what's going to happen to me. This is what lies beyond the current trouble. This is the ultimate result. My glory. And friends, that is the hope that the disciples needed at that time. And it is the hope that we need today, in this time of fear and uncertainty. See, no matter what happens in this world, we know that there will come a day when we see the glory just as it was always meant to be. But wait, there's more. Verses 30 and 31 says, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. Now, there is a ton to unpack just in this one verse here. But we're going to pull a couple things out that we want to look at closely this morning. So, what we see is Moses and Elijah, and we see them sharing in the glory of Jesus. Jesus was not alone in this amazing display of His glory. These two men, Moses and Elijah, also appeared with Him. And this is an important point because we see these men, and they were just men, right? I mean, these guys are considered giants of the faith, but they were just men. And think about Moses. I mean, here's a guy who was a murderer. He was a fugitive from justice. He was an unwilling leader. He was a guy with an anger problem. This is the guy who was not allowed to enter the promised land because of previous failure. A sinner. And yet here he is sharing in the glory with Jesus Christ. And what Jesus is showing His disciples and what He's showing us is that someday we too will share in the glory of God. Remember, this was a difficult time for the disciples. Jesus had just told them that He would have to suffer and die. And they had to be confused and uncertain about the future. They had to be scared. But Jesus is saying, look. Look beyond the current troubles. Look to that day when you will share My glory. Now, a couple more points that we want to make before we move on, because Jesus is really giving us a glimpse into eternity. And we've talked about this before. Remember, we said we've been created for eternity. Now, the first thing that we want to pull out of this is that we will continue to be who we are. You will continue to be who you are just as you were created. Look, Moses was still Moses. Elijah was still Elijah. And you will be you, only made glorious, sharing in the glory of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, Paul tells us there that through the gospel, we will share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will be who we are, who we were created to be, only glorious. The second thing that we want to make sure we understand from this is that we will know and we will be known. Look, the disciples immediately recognized Moses and Elijah. How? How could they have possibly known Moses and Elijah? I mean, Moses died some 1,500 years before this event took place. Elijah some 850 years before this event took place. And we know that there were no cameras back then, right? It wasn't like they could look up their profile picture on Facebook. No. How did they know them? And Jesus, He didn't introduce them. Hey guys, I want you to meet Moses and Elijah. No. No. They just knew them. They knew them. See, people very often ask the question, you know, will we know each other in heaven? Yes, absolutely. Because we will continue to be ourselves. God created us for that perfect community. And we've talked about that a lot. We talked about that a lot in our last sermon series. We are created for this perfect community, and we are created to begin to build that community here on earth in the church. And I can guarantee you that God did not command us to build that community here on earth only to have it abandoned in eternity because we don't know one another. No, that community is going to be perfected in glory. Isn't that an awesome thing to know? So we will be who we are, and we will know, and we will be known. Now, as we move forward in our story here, what's really interesting is what they talked about. Because in verse 31 it says, they spoke about his, meaning Jesus of course, his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Now, of all the things that they could have talked about, they chose this topic. They talked about the work of the cross. And more than likely, the resurrection that was going to happen after that. These are the linchpins of the gospel, friends. And that's what Moses and Elijah wanted to talk to Jesus about. They were more interested in how God would achieve his plan through Jesus than anything else. They wanted to talk about what Jesus was going to accomplish at Jerusalem. Can you imagine the conversation? Can you imagine it? Would love to have been there, man. Would love to have been there. I mean, let's face it. Could they have found a greater subject than Jesus' death and glorious resurrection to talk about? I don't think so. And then in verse 32 to 33, it says, Peter and his companions were very sleepy. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing there. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then Luke adds this parenthetical note here. It says, he did not know what he was saying. The Bible's humorous, isn't it? It really is. I think there's some humor here. And you ever wonder why the disciples were always so sleepy? I mean, this is not the first time that someone's recorded that the disciples fell asleep. What, were they bored? I mean, it's hard to understand. It doesn't make sense to me, but here they are falling asleep again. And then Peter. Oh, I love Peter. Peter. He always seems to be making trouble for himself when he opens his mouth. Yeah, I'll make some tents for you guys, right? It's pretty bright out here. I don't want anybody to get sunburn or anything. And let's just kind of hang out here for a while. See, it's obvious that Peter didn't know exactly what to say. And I'm betting that he didn't want to see this little scene come to an end. He wanted to see it go on. No doubt it was pretty awesome. So he goes and says something that just doesn't make much sense. And then we read about God the Father showing up. Verse 34 says, while he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them. And they were afraid. As they entered the cloud, a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. And there's some really important things that we can learn about God from this little snippet of scripture. Now, this cloud is something that we've seen before, right? Where have we seen this cloud before? We've seen it in the Old Testament. When the nation of Israel wandered in the desert, how did God manifest himself? Well, they followed a cloud by day and a column of fire by night. So what did this manifestation of God tell them about God? And it tells us a lot about God as well. Well, God was hidden to a large degree by the cloud. He didn't completely reveal himself. And the fire showed that he is powerful and he is a God to be feared. And throughout the Old Testament, the presence of God had always been hidden to a certain degree and always invoked fear, and rightfully so. This is God. And this particular instance here was no different. Luke says they were afraid. Matthew says they fell down, face down on the ground, terrified. So here's a couple of things that I want us to take away from this image of God, this cloud that it talks about here. It says that God came in this form of this cloud. Yes, God had been hidden in the past. But now, he is revealed in Jesus Christ. John 1:18 tells us, no one has ever seen God. And yes, that's absolutely true. But, John goes on to say, the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship to the Father, has made him known. God the Father is now fully revealed in Jesus Christ. Later in John's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples that he is the only way to the Father. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. You know, Jesus had been telling his disciples some really difficult things, trying to teach them who he was and why he came to this earth. And Philip says, just let us see God and we'll get it. We'll believe it. What does Jesus say? Don't you know me by now? After all you've seen, don't you understand who I am? As we move forward into verse 35, then God the Father speaks and he says, you want to know me? You want to know me? Listen to my Son. Listen to Jesus. That's where you see me. I have revealed myself to you in my Son. See, friends, we come to know God through faith in Jesus Christ. And the other very important thing that we learn from this scene is that it is only through Christ that we can stand in the presence of the Almighty God. In Matthew's account, it says Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. Where have we heard that advice from Jesus before? We heard that in our story from last week when he calmed the storm. He said, don't be afraid. But Jesus says it over and over and time again. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Doesn't that give you peace? Doesn't that give you peace to know that the Son of God has your back? That he's with you? That knowledge gives us peace in this life, for sure. Knowing that no matter the situations we face, he's got this. He's in control. But you know, it gives us hope for the next life as well, because we know that someday we will enter into the presence of the Almighty God. We all will do it. It's Judgment Day. We will all face God. And it is only through Jesus Christ that we will be able to stand before the Almighty God. If your faith is in Jesus, He is by your side. And you don't have to be afraid. Because Jesus, the one and only Son of God, paid the price for your sins. Friends, there it is. That's the gospel. That's the good news that Jesus brings. Our future, not only in this world, but in the next, is in the hands of God. And what I want us to do is I want us to think for a minute today about how this event changed the disciples. Now remember, when they went up that mountain, they were worried. They were afraid. They didn't understand everything that Jesus was telling them about His destiny. And they certainly didn't know what their future held. They didn't know what was going to happen the next day, or the day after that, or the day after that. Does it sound anything like the world that we live in? Do we know what's going to happen the next day, or the next day, or the day after that? But Jesus showed them where they were headed. He showed them their future. He gave them a peek at the glory that they would one day share with Him. Despite the challenges and difficulties that they would face in life, they could now know where they were headed. And friends, that is where we are headed as well, regardless of the problems that we face in this world. And let's be honest. This world could be a pretty scary place if you don't have Jesus by your side. And having Jesus on your side, that should change you. Just like it changed the disciples. So how do we live in light of all of this? All that we've just been talking about, all that we've learned. How do we live our lives now in light of all of that? Well, first and foremost, friends, this should increase our faith and our trust in Jesus. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds to the truth of God's Word. We need the Holy Spirit to make those promises realities in our life. God's promises are true, and the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to that fact. And Jesus proved that they're true by entering into our realm and dying on the cross for our sins. What greater proof could we ask for than that? If we trust in God, He will take care of us no matter what. And how do we know all of that? How do we know this? It's in the Word. You can't know His promises if you don't know the Word. 2 Chronicles 20:20 tells us, "Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld." God is going to uphold you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to care for you. Even in the face of a global pandemic. And if fear has you paralyzed, Isaiah 41 tells us, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Doesn't that make you feel better? Knowing that God is on your side? It does me. But the only way you know that is to get in the Word and seek out God's promises. That will increase your trust through the power of the Holy Spirit. Second thing, besides increasing our trust and our faith, this should give us peace. This should give us peace. The kind of peace that the world just doesn't have. With Jesus at our side, we don't have to be afraid or anxious. Oh, it's easy to have peace when things are going well, right? But the world is being challenged right now. And the only way that you have peace is through Jesus Christ. The psalmist David understood this well. In Psalm 23, he says, "Even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no pandemic, for you are with me." You are with me. We should have peace. And lastly, friends, all of this should drive us to our knees. We should all be on our knees in prayer. Not only to cry out for help, which is what we should do. God has told us that we should cry out to Him for help in our times of trouble. But we also have to thank God. We have to thank Him for His promises. And thank Him for all that He's already done for us. God has blessed us in amazing ways. And we need to thank Him for that. But we also need to thank Him for everything that He has promised to do in the future. There's great promises for our future. This transfiguration story that we've looked at today, we see just a flash of glory. We see just a brief glimpse, a picture of that glory that we too will experience with Jesus Christ. For those who place their trust in Christ and do what God tells us to do, and God tells us to listen to Him, for all those who place their trust in Christ, that is the picture of the future that lies on the other side. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You and we praise You, Lord, and we thank You for all that we learn from the life of Jesus. We thank You for this picture of the future glory that we will share with You for all eternity. We thank You, Lord, that You are with us. We thank You that You are by our side. We thank You that You pour out Your Spirit and You make Your promises come alive in us. Lord, give us peace. Give us peace in knowing that You are with us. And may we always, Lord, be on our knees thanking You for all that You've done and all that You've promised to do for all eternity. Father, hear our prayer, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.